Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two anxious counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
Dive in.
Woo! Man, Woo! We like nailed that intro.
We did really good.
Last time we couldn't remember any of the parts of a podcast. Like, how did we start this? How did we end this? I was like missing my headphones. We tried
like we're
weird
getting
things.
Back in our groove.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think doing the cha-cha check-ins a couple times
I enjoyed
this week
that.
Has helped.
I enjoyed the cha-cha check-in a lot.
I feel like it's kind of like our video diary.
I enjoyed it. And we're going to do more.
We are going to do more. We would have done one yesterday, but I had cramps.
But you brought me cookies, so that's great.
I brought you cookies. I ate ice cream for lunch today.
Oh, that sounds great too.
I've never done that before.
Like just like, as
that
the whole
was
lunch.
My lunch.
I mean, I don't think I can say that I've never done that before, but I mean, probably not my main choice.
We had what kind? Ben and Jerry's bring their Sunday bar to work. And
nice.
We scheduled it during the lunch hour, weirdly. And so that was what I ate for lunch.
Some good planning. Just bring in the ice cream. Yeah.
It was really delicious. And I recommend it if you want to do like an employee appreciation thing at your work. They're really nice. Lots of toppings.
I would want like a super chili bar when it's cold out though. And I'd want ice cream during the summer.
I didn't pick this.
Not that I would argue about eating ice cream at most points of the day.
I had a lot of questions about choosing ice cream in the winter.
Did you?
But I have to say I enjoyed my ice cream lunch. It was real good.
You know, we were just talking before we started, as we do, about how annoyed we are that Zoom makes us look so pretty.
It's so unrealistic.
I was like, my porcelain skin looks gorgeous. My unbrushed hair looks like intentional.
Yeah. How do they make your teeth whiter, your cheeks rosier?
I know, I'm drinking wine and my teeth are amazing right now.
Your hair shinier. But yeah. It's false reality. And then when you stare at that,
you
end up
gorgeous.
Thinking that's what you look like. I look fucking gorgeous.
And then I pulled
out
my phone because I'm like, damn, I'm looking good right now.
And then you
pull out my camera. And I was like, I didn't even bother taking the picture. I was like, well, that was a letdown.
No, and then you go onto a Teams meeting where they don't have a pretty meter. Yeah. And you're like, oh, back to reality. Suck.
Teams sucks.
Cheers. Did I
cheers
you already?
I mean, probably. I don't remember. Oh, goodness.
I'm so glad it's Friday Eve.
Yeah, I got a cardboard cut on the tip of my finger. I had to tell you it. I took a bunch of cardboard to the dump. They have the recycling part of it. And
I'm so sorry.
I was like, why are these boxes covered in blood? I realized I'd sliced my finger
open.
It's
your blood.
It's my blood.
My Thanksgiving burn is healing up.
Oh, good. Ooh. I mean, not you. Are you okay?
Do you want me to put it on you?
No, I don't. It looks like it's in the crusty face.
It's way better.
What did you burn it on?
Oh,
something hot?
Fucking green beans. I wasn't even going to make them.
Nobody actually wants to make the green bean.
I've never made them before. And for some reason, I decided to go all traditional.
Get crazy with it.
And I was steaming some green beans. And the steam just burned the shit out of my hand. It was a huge blister, like.
You got
like
a
completely
bubble.
3D.
Yeah.
And then that fell off. My skin sloughed off.
I still have scars from my peanut burns, however long ago. I know I talked about that on the podcast.
Peanut burns are terrible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that sucks. We kind of suck at wounding ourselves.
I get
a lot
hurt with cooking situations quite
cooking
a lot.
Cooking is dangerous. It's
really
a
dangerous.
Lot of faith to give to people. It's like driving a car, it's really dangerous. Same thing with cooking. There's open flames at times. There's hot burners. Sharp knives. You're really hoping that I turn off
steam
things.
Steam is debilitating.
And Steve.
Damn
sneaks
you, Steve.
In there. Microwave things too. Like the steam that comes out when you like peel back the.
That's why I always say let it sit for a minute.
Well, I like to eat it hot and then burn half my tongue out first.
I like to microwave my microwave meals a little bit extra long because I kind of like where it's like a little bit burnt, which is probably really unhealthy.
I mean, I don't like having a microwave meal that's been cooled down. I feel like that defeats the, I mean, the whole thing is to heat, is to make my food hot. I don't want to have to wait for it to cool down so one bite of it doesn't burn my tongue.
And I like burned cheese.
So you like that crusty where it like lavitates?
I like the lavitated cheese.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably not healthy. It's not, I don't even think that's cheese anymore.
So at work, when I make a micro meal lunch, you know, and it takes 4 minutes, it seems like 5 hours.
That's so long, especially when you know other people are waiting for the microwave and you're like, but you don't want to cut your short, because if you do that, then you just have to go to the back of the line because you're like, shit, it was too cold. My corn's cold.
I can go use the restroom. I can go send a scan. I can do a lot of things in 4 minutes.
Send a fax, because that's a thing that still happens.
Only when people force me to.
Yes.
I would prefer an email. Yeah. I don't like standing there while your microwave's doing the thing, because then you have to do idle chit chat.
Wasn't it bad for your brain?
I don't think the radiation is supposed to come out of your microwave.
But it can.
I think that would be a problem that you should find a solution to.
Probably. Yeah. When I mentioned corn a moment ago, that triggered my brain.
Did you mention corn?
I said that my corn would be cold. At Thanksgiving, I had, this is just more like a heartwarming moment. So a couple of years, my grandpa passed away. And so
that sounds real heartwarming, Lacey.
It got to wait for the buildup.
I hope the story gets better.
We went and had Thanksgiving with my grandma. And she was like doing all of her cooking things like she usually does, like trying to do everything. And she goes, and don't worry. And she goes, and I've got the corn. And she's so adamant about the fact that she got the corn. And we're like, okay, grandma's got corn. And finally she sets it down. She's like, okay, here you go. She starts dipping it up to my dad. Like, here's your corn that you love so much. My dad's like, I mean, I don't not like corn. And then I like had this brain fog, just moment clear of like every Thanksgiving my grandpa would always be like, oh, make sure you get the corn. Like, my grandpa loved corn on Thanksgiving. Oh. And so it was this like little memory thing that came to my grandma, and she couldn't remember.
She knew somebody the corn. Liked the damn corn.
Yeah. And so I thought just that was really endearing. Go grandma.
I hope the corn has become a tradition.
I ate a lot of the corn because of that moment. I was like,
oh, I made a grandma. Creamy corn casserole the other night, and it was a real big hit around here.
I loved cream corn growing up.
And it was so easy to make.
You know, we're getting dangerously close to making this a cha-cha chit-chat versus a podcast.
Why don't you go?
it's feeling too natural. We've slipped into a groove.
You
now.
Changed the name of it. You rebranded cha-cha chit-chat.
Oh, cha-cha chit-chat.
I like that too.
And then the other day I was throwing in too many cha-chas. Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah, I'm like, no, Macy, only two cha-chas.
It was your creation.
One shot too many.
I'm expanding it. Yeah, it's my topic first this week. Yes,
why don't you go?
Okay, I'm gonna go. Okay.
Do it.
Which part should I do first?
I see you have something you're gonna hide under a paper.
Well, I also have things on the paper.
I won't look because I'm better than you.
I'm worse than you. Okay, so I'm tangled. Okay. I'm going to talk about USPS workers during the holidays due to Amazon and what their lives are like.
Oh, okay.
I am personally connected to this because my stepdad works for USPS. I'll just leave it broad like that. And he and us as a family have seen and noted things that are just... you'll like this word choice, egregious for any employee. So I decided to look into that more and figure out the whys and all that.
I feel like I'm personally linked to this as well because I order way too much shit.
Me too. But there's certain things I've actually stopped ordering just because like I feel bad about it. Like I won't order I never did, but like dog food or kitty litter. I ordered kitty litter before online. But like heavy things that like I'm just too lazy to put in my shopping cart. Like I don't do that anymore because now I get this picture of, you know, my family member having to haul that shit around to, you know, a veteran with shoulder issues. Like
they've become great. Human beings to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Another heartwarming moment on Deeply Disturbing Things podcast.
It's what we're known for. Okay, so I kind of asked just for some of the experiences, just to get an overview. So first of all, lots of mandated overtime. So that's just a thing. Currently working 6 days a week, 12 to 13 hours a day, often walking 15 to 17 miles a day.
That's a lot of walking.
Do you want that job?
I mean, being active and not sitting in a desk
might be okay.
That part seems healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would probably be fit. So prior to COVID, and I think this is a part that we have to highlight, is that there was a change. So prior to COVID, most of the workers got 2 days off a week, and once a month they'd get a 3-day weekend. So that sounds like a normal, what I'd kind of expect. So that really went out the window. They don't even have,
do they work on Sundays now? I've had some stuff come on a Sunday and I was very confused about it.
Yes. So they do, or can deliver on Sundays as well. And so, they may not even get, planned time off, where they can plan it in advance versus just being kind of dictated your time off.
Is it because when COVID first started, nobody's leaving the house and everybody was ordering everything in?
Well, it's specifically because of an Amazon contract that happened right at that point.
I didn't know they were connected.
And that's what I'll kind of go into.
Enlighten me.
Yes. So, okay. So he works 5:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. I didn't know this process until I talked to him more about it, but so it's not like USPS just has the Amazon packages sent to them. That's not how that works. They have to go load all the Amazon packages in their vehicles back to take it to the post office to sort them, because the whole sorting, scanning, getting the mail routes, all of that is a USPS thing, not an Amazon thing. So that has to go there, be tagged, processed, and then be reloaded into the trucks before they can even be delivered.
Okay. So Amazon has too much stuff to deliver in-house. And so they
created a contract,
giving that contract to USPS.
And they have split it up now to some other smaller ones. And now they're talking about doing their own Amazon shipping. And this is where the double-edged sword comes into play, because this has brought in revenue for USPS. Yeah, because USPS.
I have heard that USPS was really struggling and might have to stop.
I mean, they were, from what I read, is that that's a little exaggerated. Their packages is pretty on par, but they're also a government entity, so there's only so much they can't they may raise the price of a stamp.
Well, I think they fucked themselves with the forever stamp. Right? Nobody does something forever.
Not forever.
That's a bad idea all the way around.
Right. Well, and then there's certain things that, because they're a government entity, that they can't they can't go over the prices of, say, UPS or those other companies out there. To allow competition in the market, there are certain levels that are put there that they have to maintain as well. Doesn't mean that they can't have wiggle room, but then they also have to say, okay, well, are people just going to stop going to us altogether if we are now the same cost as everything else?
Right. Because I do believe their shipping is cheaper.
It is. And the flat rate boxes, I think, are
those boxes helpful. And shipping books and stuff, I think, is way cheaper through them.
Yeah. So I would say there's pros and cons on both sides to that.
Did DHL just disappear?
I got a DHL thing the other
really?
Day. Because it was used more for international.
Oh,
what I got from DHL.
I don't see those trucks on my street.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the FedEx, a lot of the UPS. Who are you?
I always now, if I'm outside or if I see them coming up with a package, I actually open the door and I always say thank you.
Oh, I say I'm sorry and thank you.
Sorry.
Those are my two things.
Well, and can you imagine, everybody's over buys instead of online versus in stores now. I think during the holidays.
It's just really Amazon bad. Is an evil convenience.
Well, yeah.
It's just way too easy.
Yeah. And I think too with COVID, it increased the amount of people not going shopping in stores and just ordering online. So it's all of it crammed together. So So they have to do that extra, they say like maybe like 2 to 3 hours of just processing the Amazon packages, not even, and that's not factored into like their job. They have a job that fit all their hours prior to this. And they're expected to still be able to maintain that because the, again, you know, boss things, they don't want to have to pay overtime.
So this is above and beyond their normal job yes. duties.
And I was reading, there are a ton of complaints, like formal complaints against USPS for treatment of employees for having managers forge time cards, like, and actually like cut their hours shorter. And or telling somebody to, you know, even if you haven't finished dropping off your route stuff, clock out at 6. And so they're still out there working and not getting paid for it. Isn't that
fraud?
Yes. And there's a lot of open cases still being investigated for it. And a lot of the supervisors get kind of slap on the wrist. They say it's isolated, but there were like many states and many of these prosecutors are saying that this is a widespread problem because the managers get such a, get so in trouble for overtime.
The overtime.
Yeah, that they try to cut corners. And it, ultimately, I mean, they don't get the pay and they get, you know, scrutiny from managers. Mm. So it all sucks. So, and okay, so if somebody finishes early, like they get all their stuff out, then they're expected to go and help other carriers. So like, they're not just done.
I love it when your reward for doing your job extra efficiently is doing more jobs.
Which, and I do understand part of this too, is that there's a big camaraderie for the long-termers that work there. For like, if you actually had a better day, you want to go and help out your buddy too, who had a shitty day. So
it's like family.
Yeah, I know that. So, what my stepdad has done before is if he knew my mom ordered something big and heavy, he would say, oh, let me grab that off your truck. I'll go put it in my car. Like don't deliver to my house. Like I'll grab that.
That's cool.
To help them out. Yeah.
I love that.
So there's other dangers for employees such as, and so this kind of goes into making them work extra hours, is that it's dangerous walking at night in wintertime. Like things are slippery, black ice, poor visibility. And they're carrying packages. Have you ever carried multiple things and fallen?
I fall without carrying multiple things.
Well, but see, if you fall with nothing in your hands, you tend to fall on your arms or your wrists, you know, which sucks.
And break your arms.
Yeah. But if you have packages in your hands and they're probably trying not to damage things, they just go down. And so my stepdad fell at a house once, and this wasn't, I don't even think it was winter, but he slipped on the steps, fell, hit his head.
Oh no.
And just kind of woke up like 20 minutes later. Nobody like saw him, and he just kind of woke up, put the package there. Yeah. And they
nobody
told him,
helped him.
And they told him to just, you know, go back to work because if he wasn't feeling like he needed to go to the hospital.
You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. It just, yeah. And, you know, not everybody ices their walkways. I think that's really true. Okay. So in summertime too, like heat stroke, like all of that, if you're walking that much and carrying boxes, like that could be bad.
And what about like just injuries from repetitive straining. Use?
Yeah. Well, I read one person was talking about how she would never be able, because some of these packages are heavy, that they just happened to have a guy who was an ex-bodybuilder on the team. She's like, if it weren't for him, I couldn't lift like, you know, a quarter of my packages. So I don't know what you do if you don't have a bodybuilder.
I don't know what you do.
I don't know. I mean, they do have carts and stuff, and I think there is a weight limit for USPS, but it's still... I don't actually know what it is, so I'm not going to say it, but I don't know. It's still heavy, like 50 to 80 pounds, somewhere in there. I don't want to carry that.
I can't carry that much.
So turnover is really high.
I might be a wimp. I always think I'm tough.
You kind of got a little noodly arms.
When it comes to lifting shit, I'm kind of a wimp.
I like to carry as much as I can, and I'm often the person that's like, let me get that for you. I don't know why, but I feel strong when I do it, even if I'm like, fuck,
remember I was buying a toilet at Home Depot, and like, you know how they don't like come and help you, you're like on your own.
Yeah.
I was really struggling to get this thing off from the shelf into my cart.
Yeah.
And like, I couldn't fucking do it without, I thought I would break
way
it.
Too heavy.
And so you I pressed the button that like asked for help.
Picking it up the toilet.
And then I felt like a fool because this gal just comes up and just easily puts it into my cart. And then I was like, hey, could you put it into my car after I buy it? Yeah. And she was like, oh yeah.
I feel like I need to take advantage of things like that, because often they'll be like, hey, do you want help with whatever the thing is? And I'm like, no, I've got it. And then I'm out there like, again, fuck.
It's hard to get something out of your cart into your car because you have to lift it up and then like over.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to break it. I mean, shit's expensive now.
You might be able to take it back. They'd feel bad for you.
Maybe.
If you cried a little. Or they
might have pointed to the sign that says, please ask for help if you need it.
Well, that's the thing that we as, you know, just in society have a hard time doing, okay?
We do. We have a hard time asking for help.
My own employees, like, I'll be like bringing up furniture into the office. We're on the third story and there is an elevator, but I'm like haul things all the time. And they'll be like, you could have asked us to come down. I'm like, that's fine. I'm sweating. Good.
I asked somebody for help once and they didn't help me. And that's probably why I don't ask
what
anymore.
Do you mean they didn't help you?
It was so rude.
How do you not help when they off? Wait, what? How does that work?
It was traumatizing for me.
First of all, was it me? Is this a call out moment?
No, it was a work situation.
Okay. So you asked them for help.
I asked them for help at work to carry all these like toys that we're donating to the thrift store.
I was here for this. I was there for this. Okay. Are you sure it wasn't me?
It wasn't.
Okay.
So there's boxes and boxes of stuff. And this is when we worked up on a high floor.
Yeah. Very high.
And so having help taking to the car like is a big deal.
Would have helped. I don't remember helping
that person.
You, so
did not help me. And so I just got angrier and angrier as I like was on my fifth and sixth trip from like the third floor down to my car.
When we're in private, you're gonna have to tell me who that is.
I'm apparently still pissed about it.
I can hear it in your voice. And
no, I'm already
more.
I'm getting a little heated. Yeah. I don't know if the beauty meter can even help with this.
Oh, you look so rosy right now. You look like you've had a little wine.
It's anger. It's fury.
Okay, so ask for help, but unfortunately, USPS okay. workers
and hopefully
don't get
you'll
help.
Get it.
But USPS workers don't get help. They do like little presents. I've learned, like. Little things during even just like during hot days, having like a cold water out there, like
see I'm
like
hesitant, like I would do like maybe something packaged, but I would feel like they would think I'm trying to poison them, or it would be contaminated, or there'd be cat hair in it or something. Or is that just me?
I don't know. I've seen somebody give like a little mini bottle of liquor. I mean, that sounds great. Maybe not.
Yeah,
liquor,
I mean that's
but, like
sealed.
As a present.
Like
yeah.
I can see sealed stuff.
Yeah, I mean, don't give them your baked goods.
Yeah, I mean, don't make them a tuna sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like being a counselor though. When clients give you food, like 99% of the time, it's probably going to be delicious and great.
That
there
one
might
time,
be a
maybe they're like, oh, I really didn't like it when you called me on that one thing.
Yeah.
Here's payback, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I've been in a couple houses where I'm like, I don't know if that's the kitchen I want to eat off of. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's my kitchen.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's like,
it depends on the day.
I feel like my immune system is pretty good with that kind of stuff.
You've got littles.
It would be tough to pass up, you know, a fudge.
Fudges are good.
I'm probably never going to pass up a fudge. I don't care who made it. TBH.
Yeah. Yeah. I could pause. I'll probably pause for like a day, maybe two, but catch me on a hungry moment.
Eat anything. Or if it's just sitting there, like at first you're like, ooh, I'm not gonna, but then like you eat it later in the day.
Yeah. I mean, no one's poisoned me yet. And I guarantee you I've eaten a plenty of food from, I mean, really anybody, because not even clients. It could just be like roller derby people.
Anybody.
The moms of some of the roller derby people may want to lay me out at some point.
You just don't know who's out to poison you.
I mean, if you're still alive, then my odds are pretty high at this point.
That's true.
If anyone's poisoning anybody, this girl. Miss needs
Why
help carrying things.
So much?
Okay. All right. So they have high turnover too at USPS for new employees. So that makes it hard. and you know, trucks are overloaded. I was sent a picture once where like the packages were literally like leaning over onto the driver because they couldn't fit them all. Okay. So there are a ton of union filings for grievances for USPS workers for breaking employment rights. But a lot of these are like in conversation or in, you know, like trying to find some sort of agreement versus just saying that what they're doing is wrong, stop now. And so they still have to do their job. They still have to do all this. There's no just, okay, yes, we agree that you're being mistreated. Stop it. They just, yes.
Just stop it.
Yes, we agree. We agree you're mistreated, but keep doing it while we try to figure this out if we can.
So they're not taking it seriously.
I mean, it's just, how much power do you really have? Which is the sad part.
Is this why people go postal? Or is that considered like a pejorative term?
I mean, probably, yeah, for postal workers.
I'm sorry, postal workers.
But I mean, part of, I get it on some level, you know, you're working 12 to 14 hour days, exhausted. And from even what I know of people in my life is that, you know, that day off goes to sleeping. Because you're so tired and then you get up and you do the whole thing again. So you
can't even enjoy your time off.
Yeah, you don't have family time. You don't have time to enjoy your life because you're exhausted.
That is the number one sign that something is fucking wrong in work-life balance when you cannot enjoy your time off. You can't celebrate and you just feel like you need to decompress and rest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And another part that I just think is complete bullshit, and it doesn't just exist here, but it exists in lots of places. The supervisors will get bonuses for productivity, but none of the regular employees get bonuses or got any like COVID relief or anything for their extra time or energy. But the supervisors do. Doesn't that feel gross?
It feels parasitic.
Right. Which is pretty common if we talk about how companies like this may treat lower employees. Okay, so trying to use my computer in tablet mode here. All right, because it makes me feel fancy. So there's about 4,000 packages that the U.S. Postal Service station just in one city in Tennessee unloads with six employees. Each person grabs a box, rushes to the scanning machine, runs the barcode, places it on the gurney for its route. That takes about 10 seconds and can be repeated as many as 200 times in an hour. And that process, it's really the part that is taking the most time is the extra processing versus the tablet mode is not
like working. What are you doing over there? Looks like you're gonna play the accordion.
I don't understand what I did, but it didn't work. Oh my gosh, I destroyed everything.
You're funny.
Thanks.
The longer I look at this bag of cookies,
the longer you want to eat it.
Yes,
I want to eat one. You can eat one because I'm gonna eat one when you talk. So go for it.
I really want one.
Can you not just squeeze it, like find one you want and pick it? Okay. And then eat it. Okay, sorry. I had this one that looks like
it has coconut. I hope it does.
Coconut looks, I love coconut.
Oh, you want me to put this one back?
No, go ahead. Eat it. Okay.
I give you a gift and then I pick the best one out of it. Eat it.
Gee, I wonder why nobody helps you with boxes.
Do I have very few friends and a lot of enemies?
Yes. So Amazon was able to make a deal to ship its packages through USPS at cut rate prices because the company preemptively sorts and labels packages by postal route. But transporting and distributing it actually takes much longer. One worker said, if there's a lot of Amazon packages, it gums up the work of everything else. So things get backed up typically 2 to 3 hours. So if you think about someone's end of the day, it pushes them out, you know, till 7, 8 o'clock. So the post office, you know, during Trump era got some beef by Trump for saying that they're not being competitive enough or not asking for enough money from Amazon. But, you know, again, I think there's pros and cons to both sides, and there mm-hmm. are limitations to what they can do and what they can't do. So no other company or government agency has funding obligations like the U.S. Postal Service. And overall, it's profitable. Are you okay?
It was coconut. Just.
Are you choking?
A little bit.
Do you have a fluid drink? I'm worried about you. I just you know, heavy like those, breathing in my ear.
Those hard like coconut little sticks.
Yeah, you like grass shards almost.
Yeah, yeah, that's what's happening.
Okay. So on one hand, you kind of have the business side of USPS saying, like, we welcome the business from Amazon. But the yeah. employees are like, like they don't see any benefit from all this extra business. They don't get paid more because they have Amazon contracts now.
See, that doesn't make sense to me, right? That piece.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I know for a fact with my family is that there was no increase given, but now workload has doubled or tripled in some cases.
They need that reason to work extra hard. They need to understand why it's important to them.
Yeah. And this employee said that, you know, people buying like 50 pound bags of dog food is pretty common, and having a lot of things say like team lift is on the label. But if there's nobody there to help you, or, you know, it's just kind of an assumed like you have to handle it, it's not, doesn't mean that they have help. And a lot of workplace injuries happen because of things like that. Like you said, getting a strain or something like that, or pulling a muscle. So trucks are old.
Trucks are old.
And have been described for USPS as, quote, death traps.
Oh.
Prone to breakdowns. So trucks aren't designed to fit large package loads, which can create additional trips to the gas station. USPS recently made investments in upgrading its fleet by purchasing Ram ProMaster vans. That are better equipped for packages, but rollout's been slow and most places still don't have them.
And so they're going to be bigger.
That's kind of the goal, is to handle more. In the meantime, mail trucks that burst into flames mid-route are frequent topics in postal forums and blogs, which I found out are a thing, and I have read through them. Like disgruntled employees talking about all of their disgruntled things.
That their truck just burst into flames?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would disgruntle me.
I would be disgruntled as well. So there's lots of things that could be done that aren't done. A lot of things that just can't be done.
I honestly had no idea about this partnership between Amazon and the U.S. Postal Service.
Well, the USPS keeps telling the employees, like, this isn't going to last forever. It's not going to last forever. It's not going to last forever, but it's continuing. So most people in the industry aren't optimistic that it's going to get better. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to get more adversarial between contracts and trying to compete for contracts and getting the most out of your employees to try to beat that next contract sort of deal. And that's really where, you know, employees get a bad deal. And this one employee stated that it would be fine if they would at least act like that we're part of the same company. But they have these caps and goals they want to meet. So you're treated almost like a robot. You're under a lot of pressure and there's very little room for error.
I think that can be a problem at any organization when there's a disconnect between the frontline workers and the people making decisions.
Agreed.
So is it my turn?
Yeah. Yep. I hope you enjoyed some shedding light. So,
I had no idea.
If you're at the store, and you can buy your heavy stuff, do that then. Don't buy it on Amazon.
I do. And then I struggle to get it in my cart myself. And I will ask for help. And then I will feel stupid when that person makes it look super easy.
It'll be the high schooler that helps you out to your car, and they're much stronger than you. I'm eating the brownie because you mentioned fudge earlier and it sounded good. I'm going to take a step back from my microphone.
What's I like munching right in your ear? I'm sorry.
I just heard you choking.
That coconut got caught in my throat. Did you know there's another person inside of you?
Excuse me?
This is my topic.
Right now?
Right now. Did you know that?
No.
There is.
Get it out. My brownie.
If the two hemispheres of your brain aren't connected, they function independently of one another. This was originally shown during Roger Sperry's experiments from 1959 to 1968. He called the phenomenon split brain. So during his experiments, he severed the corpus callosum, which is what connects the two halves of your brain. And it's all these nerves. So a lot of communication goes back and forth.
Did you make these?
No. You think I fucking make shit?
Were these from a client?
No, my work had a cookie exchange.
Oh, that's right.
Which I didn't these participate in. But I went in after it was done. I waited till it was done. And then bagged up some good looking cookies.
That's low. I have a firm belief
that they're all homemade from my staff. If you do not
participate in the potluck, you'd get shit.
Well, that's why I always wait.
No, you don't get anything.
No, I go in like. No,
you get nothing. You did not participate. This is for people engaging in the fanfare.
Yeah, but if it's just going to get wasted.
Then waste it shall be. Be better.
I have a different philosophy to cookie exchanges and potlucks. I think it's okay to go in and get the scraps.
I don't think so. I would chase you away. Be like, where is your casserole, Naomi?
Okay, listeners, chime in.
If everybody did that, there wouldn't be a potluck.
Which side are you on? Your potluck protocol?
You can't rely on the few people that love potlucks and always bring something.
I suck at potlucks and cookie exchanges, apparently.
Yeah.
I usually forget. And then if I do decide to participate.
Did you sneak in when no one was there?
Yeah. Because I got a bag for you and I got a bag for Asher also.
It
was clearly over. I was in there at like 3 o'clock. This was a lunchtime event.
As someone who might bring something, I would go in at the very end of the day and take home what I had as like my own little reward spoil. But if somebody else came in and took it, I wouldn't have that, would I? Sorry, I shamed you publicly. What else?
I don't feel ashamed. I feel good about my choices.
I can see that on your face and it bothers me more.
This might be that other person inside me speaking.
Yeah.
So the corpus callosum was severed in people because it's a treatment for severe epilepsy. So it wasn't like they were just severing people's brains for no reason. There was a reason. And continues to be a reason. They still do this. So Sperry found the hemispheres in human brains had different functions. The left hemisphere interpreted language, but not the right. The right brain can interpret images, but not the left. And Sperry shared the Nobel Prize in Physiology for Medicine in 1981 for the split brain research. So he did tons of experiments on not only humans, he did experiments on cats and monkeys also, to really try to figure out the function of each side of the brain. And he found that if the hemispheres weren't connected, they function completely independently of one another.
That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy brain.
Yep. And also that animals could memorize double the information if their brains were split.
Animals or mammals? Sorry.
Animals. The cats and monkeys.
So wait, we can't?
He didn't do this experiment on humans. So really, really interesting research. At the time, it was known that each hemisphere was responsible for like the vision and movement of the opposite side of the body. So our left brain controls our right eye, right side of the body. So information that goes into our right eye goes into our left brain. Information that goes into our left eye goes into our right brain. So that was known already, but he really designed experiments where he could carefully monitor which each eye saw and therefore what information was going to each hemisphere.
Ooh.
So how that information was understood differently.
That kind of reminds me of the ghost limb experiment.
It's so fascinating. So he showed a word to one of the eyes and found that split brain people could only remember the word they saw with their right eye.
Interesting.
So that goes into the language side. Then Sperry showed participants two different objects, one to their left eye only and one to their right eye only, and then asked them to draw what they saw. Everybody drew what they saw with their left eye and could only describe what they saw with their right eye. So Sperry then concluded that the left hemisphere of the brain could recognize and analyze speech, but the right hemisphere couldn't. So this supported previously known ideas that the language center is in the left hemisphere.
Yeah.
So experiments looking into this have continued into modern times. At Dartmouth College, I think it's pronounced Dartmouth, actually.
Dartmouth.
One of the leading brain scientists there studied one individual who had two brains for over a decade. I think they studied this person for like 20 years. Okay. So this individual named Joe had his corpus callosum severed due to experiencing severe seizures every day and sometimes multiple times a day. So he says, other than having the seizures under control, he feels completely the same. Like does not notice that he feels any different as far as like thought processes or anything or emotions. But since his two halves of his brain were separated, his two hands can work independently of one another.
That's cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Does he swap it up?
Well, you can't write because that would be language side.
Oh, okay. But you could draw.
Sort of, but spatial. Left brain can't really do drawing. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Okay. So they can do their own tasks, but they're totally different tasks. They're totally different outcomes of the task, which is fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the video of him just like doing these different things at the same time. Because the two brain halves are working independently. Yeah,
they don't need each other to complete the other task.
Yeah, they're not coordinating.
That's crazy.
So weird. So the right hand receiving information from the left half of the brain and the left hand receiving information from the right half of the brain. So when words are shown to his left brain, he can read and understand them in a typical fashion. So if any word is just shown, but when a word is shown to his right brain, he can't understand it. And he's like, I don't know.
Is that kind of similar? I mean, I know it's not to the full extent, but like with dyslexia, because it's an information processing type disorder for the brain. Maybe. The brain's not registered, like it doesn't, as the information comes in, it doesn't like code it the same.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know a lot about dyslexia. Maybe there's a corpus callosum barrier there.
And it might be different, like if it's a coding issue versus a hemisphere issue. I have no idea.
I know. Brains are so interesting. So when he was asked to draw the word with his left hand, he can easily draw a picture of the word. So for example, if he's shown the word house, he would draw a house. But the way the right half conceptualized the house, I thought was really interesting. Do you remember when we were taking our sign language lesson?
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
And you were signing me descriptors to draw a house. Do you remember how my picture was like all these elements, but it wasn't a cohesive whole?
Yeah, that's
how his house looked.
Wow.
So it's like the images are like broken out of a cohesive whole. So I think the left brain is what brings it together into, okay, this is house. like the meaning house, mm-hmm. instead of house is this and this and this, and you know.
Yeah, which from the same that book that I'd read for that, it talks about how language in general, how language develops, and it doesn't, you don't just learn that, you know, this book means book in general and also this book, like that's something your brain has to evolve into once it can understand that, and it's really odd, like it's not just inherent, you don't just get that.
Yeah, there's these different elements that have to come together for mm-hmm. to synthesize the understanding. So to me, the most fascinating part of this whole research and phenomenon is that the right side of the brain doesn't have a voice, but tries to be heard.
Ugh, creepy.
So Joe was shown the word bell mm-hmm. to his left brain mm-hmm. and the word music to his right brain.
Okay.
In a group of pictures that all showed different kinds of musical instruments, he chose bell. Because that was the word he was shown to his left brain mm-hmm. and left brain's in charge.
Do you think that's because of language development?
Just growing somehow up? Left brain, it gets the executive decision making.
Well, and so my thought being, so if somebody say was born deaf or like severely hard of hearing, and maybe the other side becomes more prominent and language develops differently, would that switch?
I don't know.
It'd be interesting.
That's interesting research. We've thought of so many potential research studies that we've not followed through on any of them.
We don't have time.
We don't have time.
If we didn't have to work full time.
I know. Can somebody...
anybody just wants to...
Just give us a bunch of money. That's all.
I'll research all day long. Totally fine.
So he was asked why he chose the bell. And he said he didn't know, but interestingly, left brain tried to concoct this whole logical story and make a connection to music.
Interesting.
So the left brain was trying to interpret and make sense of what happened. So the reason, and he linked it to music, which is the word the right brain saw.
Yeah.
So right brain made the connection to music.
Right, but brain's left over brain there knocking on the door like, hey, I might know this one.
Yeah.
Wow.
So left brain knew there was something about music, but didn't mm-hmm. know why, and concocted mm-hmm. this whole story.
And this is with it disconnected, right?
Yeah.
So they have no connection whatsoever, yep. and yet they still talk.
On well, no, level. Left brain was trying to understand why that picture was pointed to.
Oh, I see. So it kind of came back around. And so it's basically rationalizing the picture. Got
yes.
it. Okay.
And so that's the most interesting conclusion of all this research, is that's what left brain does for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Gosh,
left brain, we
rationalize all the time.
Left brain is the one that gets the voice. Mm-hmm. Left brain has the language, and left brain tries to make sense of information that is outside of our conscious awareness constantly.
Mm.
Fucking weird, right?
Yeah.
So
I have a very, very constant internal voice. Constant.
But well, that's left brain trying to make sense of stuff.
Yeah.
Because right brain doesn't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Would it interest you to know that right yes. brain has its own interests and tastes that you are unaware of?
I feel like I need to know more about my right brain. Let's talk about
So all that we're aware of is left brain. Because left brain is the
boss.
She
is a needy bitch.
Left brain is the boss. Left brain is the one that gives you kind of like the summary of everything. But right brain has its own needs, known own interests, own tastes that are totally different from left brain. So the individuals who had their corpus callosum severed, for example, when selecting a shirt with their right hand, their left hand would disagree and try to select a different shirt. The same thing would happen when they were like in the grocery store, like right hand would get something off the shelf, left hand would put it back.
Why? I know you're going to talk about it, but why?
Because they're functioning independently.
Well, and we actually
have two completely independent brains in our head.
And what you're saying is that there is no such thing as right or wrong. There's no such thing as a true decision, because your other side of your brain would pick differently anyways.
Well, I wasn't saying that, but yeah, that's one way to interpret this information.
I've said a lot of things this podcast may or may not be right.
So one hand would button up a shirt, the other hand would unbutton it.
That would piss me off so much. Because some of those buttons are hard to button, and they could just make the hole bigger.
So in our brains, with our two halves connected, this process happens all the time. But left brain always wins, and we're not even consciously aware of right brain. I feel sad for right brain.
That's sad. I mean, unless left brain knows something we don't, which it might.
Right brain has just been given the executive decision making. Does it mean left brain? Did I say right brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that right brain is wrong.
No.
So right brain is in there trying to make its needs met and its interests heard, but left brain will rationalize that stuff. And that's what we're conscious of, is that rational thought process, that reasoning, that here's the story, here's why that happened.
Do you think that ties in with DID at all? This is bringing up so many questions.
Questions.
I'm sorry. I'll stop asking.
I don't know the question.
I know. It's so obnoxious too when you research and you're like, well, obviously I didn't research that topic. Thanks. It's really interesting. Yeah.
It is. And let me tell you about this next experiment. So this is they do modern versions of the split brain experiment. Okay. So in one I was looking at a video of, so an individual's left brain is shown an empty table.
Okay.
The right brain is shown an assortment of objects. Okay. So you're seeing that out of your left eye. Right eye is seeing an empty table. Okay. When right brain is shown the word Rubik's Cube, so the right brain's in charge of left hand. Mm-hmm. So left side of the table has all this stuff. The left hand will pick up the Rubik's Cube. And then left brain is asked why they picked that up. Mm-hmm. And the person will make up a reason because they don't fucking know. So in this experiment, the person said, I always wanted to learn how to solve one of these. So that's not true.
This is just
fucking fascinating.
Human nature to a core. Everybody is always full of shit.
Always.
Is what this means.
Constantly full of
Everyone is constantly full of shit. That's not why you did that, you liar.
Yeah.
You don't even know why you did that.
No. We're constantly trying to like come up with plausible reasons for shit, like all the time.
Now, what if this goes into the simulation thing where like your right brain is the actual controller of the left, like making you do things?
What if right brain is really us and left brain is our controller?
Well, but left brain is the one rationalizing, right? Because they don't know. They don't actually know the motives. So right brain would be the one that actually knows the motives, but it's kept elusive to us.
Right brain is mute.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Which is sad.
No. But what if they're what if they're the game? They're the person constructing everything.
And making left brain react.
Making left brain react. And left brain's left there going like, why the fuck did I do that? I guess I've always wanted to learn how to do a Rubik's Cube.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Wow. But we're in a giant simulation.
But when our brains are connected, you can't, it's not as apparent.
It's even sneakier.
It's even sneakier. It's even sneakier.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
drug that cookie?
That coconut?
Coconut.
Maybe I wasn't choking on coconut shards.
Somebody mentioned about, I don't know, something about cocaine, and I brought up cocaine hippos. It was just a nice way that I was like, I can contribute. And then they looked at me like, that's not what we were talking about. And I was like, but cocaine hippos.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not many times I get to plug cocaine hippos.
No, I'm always trying to sneak that into conversations as well. I totally get it. Oh, are we not talking about hippos cocaine?
I'm like, but you do know that they're trying to restrict their breeding.
Yeah, do you know they're trying to force them into birth
control?
Does
that matter? Did they give consent?
They did not. Okay.
Now what are you doing?
That was just emotion. I was choking on emotion.
We had a good moment.
So in brains like ours, with the two halves connected, hopefully, we don't really know.
I mean,
we've had a lot of concussions.
My guess is as good as yours. I don't know.
Information is continually traveling at super high speeds between the left and right brain. So even though we do have this separate intelligence living inside us, it doesn't have a conscious voice. So who is really us?
I ask that question every day.
Are we just that language center that, you know, we can understand because it's language? Or are we really that mute right brain that wants to have the zipper up? So
I don't often, my rationalizing self gets me in trouble. I can rationalize anything, either direction, both ways, up, backwards. I'll debate the opposite thing of what I believe just because I know I can.
The split brain experiments make it really clear that our right brain has its own ideas about things, but it can't speak. Poor thing.
I feel like there's, I feel like it's more in control because of that. I don't know.
Well, our left brain decides though.
Does it?
I don't know.
I don't, I'm leaning that it doesn't.
Well, listen to this.
Tell me more.
What would happen if, say, for instance, your right brain tried to take over and take control, and your left hand became rogue and tried to kill you?
I would say I probably deserved it.
So this is a real syndrome.
Is it a whole syndrome?
Yep. It's called alien hand syndrome or Dr. Strangelove syndrome, which I had never heard of.
Dr. Strangelove? No. Sounds like a sex tape. Just so
that's,
you know,
a movie.
You have an eyelash right on your cheek here. And I think if you get it and you blow it, right, you get to make a wish.
Did I do it?
Did you make a wish?
I couldn't even see if I have an eyelash. You know, I can't see anything.
Did you make a wish?
Yeah.
Make a wish with your right brain.
I'm wish that.
Don't
my
talk.
Right,
don't
brain
talk.
Would...
Don't use language.
No.
Just make a wish.
But see, if I'm thinking conscious thought, that's still left brain.
Don't think about it.
Okay, I won't think.
Okay.
Dr. Strangelove is a movie, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So. This is a real syndrome. Why are you laughing and spitting wine around?
Because that was hilarious.
What was hilarious?
Yeah. Okay. I won't think about it.
I am the queen of compartmentalization.
Hilarious.
I cannot think about shit all the time. So this has sometimes occurred in individuals who have had the two hemispheres of their brain surgically separated. It can happen with other conditions as well. But this is a category of conditions in which a person experiences their limbs acting seemingly on their own without conscious control over their actions.
That could be a problem.
Interestingly to me, this most commonly affects the left hand, which is controlled by your right brain.
Right?
I was like, what the fuck?
See, I mean, it's probably just pissed off all the time.
And nobody like thought of this. I'm like, this is right brain.
Yeah.
This is right brain taking a stand.
Did you just create a
revolution?
Connection?
Right brain revolution. Hashtag. I just made that up.
You didn't make up a hashtag.
No, but right brain revolution.
Guarantee you that hashtag exists already.
I'm going to look on Instagram right after we
you
are done with
it's
the podcast.
It's going to be there. Nothing's original anymore.
Damn it.
Said the right brain.
There are many, said the left brain, trying to put
okay,
right
sorry.
Brain down.
Imaged the right brain.
There you go. There are many
such nerds.
What am I even saying here? I don't even know.
You're squinting a lot. What? Oh, glasses.
I didn't even bring them in here.
The whole thing.
The afflicted person may sometimes reach for objects and manipulate them without wanting to do so. Even to the point of having to use the controllable hand to restrain the left hand.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, this is happening. I'm like, no, that's Macy's. Put it down. Like that kind of stuff.
I mean, honestly, that part of my brain I associate a lot with anxiety. So
is right brain anxious?
No, left brain's anxious.
Oh, okay.
Left brain's the rationalizer.
Right brain's like, I want to drink Mason's drink.
Right brain's, right brain's like.
Left brain's like, stop.
Cookies
socially unacceptable.
Cookies after the potluck that I didn't participate in. I'm going to take them because fuck it. But
your left brain's grabbing cookies. Right brain is like, put them back.
No, right brain would say no. Right brain would say take
that's left hand.
Oh, gotcha.
Left hand's grabbing cookies.
Yes. And then right hand's slapping you because it's opposites. Yes.
Oh, I kind of slapped too.
You went really hard. I feel like you'll hear that. Her hand was far away. It's all red. Why did you slap your burn?
That was left brain. That was left brain right then.
Left or right?
That was my right hand slapping. So that was your left brain.
Because you did something so bad.
And right brain is suffering now.
Yeah.
See? And now later in my sleep, my left hand
is
gonna do something bad to my right hand.
Let's try to think. Has there ever been something you've done that you just impulsively did
with your left hand?
With your left hand and didn't think about?
Probably.
You know, I'm like, well, how do I know if I hadn't thought about it?
You know what I just thought of?
What?
Sorry, I touched you with my left hand.
Why did you touch me with your left hand?
I'm so sorry.
You feel violated. Did you see what my left hand did? Was it shielded for cover?
Did you see how my left brain suddenly was ashamed and shocked? Now I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, here's what I was going to say.
I don't know why.
No, this is really important because
you never touched me.
No, that was right brain. Right brain is like, hey, I have something important to say. Why? I'm crying now. Why do most people have a right dominant hand? Why are left-handed people made to feel like they're discriminated and stigmatized?
My sister is left-handed. You are strong. Your left-handedness makes you great. However, it does, like, at eating at tables and stuff, she has to
scissors
coordinate herself.
Think about scissors. So
has elbow room.
Yeah and driving a car, like, the stupid controls are on the left side.
Yeah,
the good, like, controls are on the right side.
Well, and I wonder, I mean,
cares about turn signal. Everybody cares about windshield wipers.
Would we all just end up dying, though, if there were no side?
Wait, you took this to a real dark place real quick. Now we're dying.
If only my right hemisphere was involved here. I'm seeing scenarios playing out where, like, you know, I think my anxiety keeps me in check a lot of the times to keep me alive.
One person's rogue hand injured them to the point that they had to wear a prosthetic device.
I mean, what is that? Like a sling? Couldn't that just,
like,
work?
Kept their left hand from, like, scratching at them or punching them. Like, it kept their arm down.
Bring it on.
I mean, that's pretty severe.
Yeah, that would be intense. And you didn't know when it was going to happen.
That's right brain.
Yeah.
Right brain's like, I hate you.
I mean, obviously, that right brain's pretty pissed off.
What if our right brains really hate us?
Well, yeah. I mean, honestly, if it is purely impulsive without language and cannot have a voice, I could see that being very... having a lot of emotion underneath.
And it's us.
Yeah, it's us.
It's a part of us.
Who we are.
That has no voice. Another individual's rogue hand would grab his penis and masturbate in public.
I mean, that sounds like a compulsion. Well, it's like an intrusive, it's like intrusive thought minus the thought. So it'd be like intrusive images or intrusive urges.
Well, it's over. Just that right brain, like, I want to do it.
And I'm going to do it.
And left brain is like, no. So it'd be like,
I got the other, I got the other hand, bitch.
The other hand trying to shove it back in the pants.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, so this is an actual real syndrome that happens where you get a rogue hand.
Wow, that would be hard.
I thought it was very interesting that it was mostly the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's connected.
Well, and that's, you know, the people that are lefties, you know, it makes you wonder.
It really makes me wonder.
I can only say that because I my
more research on. Needed on these lefties. Maybe they're
she's
right.
More impulsive. Not more impulsive, but more like but no, it's like vocally, but emotionally connected. She's more emotionally connected.
I'm wondering if their right brain somehow has a little bit more of a voice.
I
think that's fucking cool. And let's look into it.
Yeah.
Let's research.
Yeah, which, because I'm totally the one that's like worried about everything in every situation. Like, well, we shouldn't say this. Don't do that. Does the sign say seat yourself or not? Then
does
we
it
must...
say wait to be seated? Then
and if
just
it
stand
does,
here.
Then we need to stand here. Versus my sister, who is left-handed, who says I'm going to sit down. They'll come over to me, and then I'm like,
and your sister, but your sister probably gets a fucking table, and you
she
don't.
Gets a table, and they show up, and then and you can see that, like, okay, the people that have been standing up there following the sign have been waiting for 10 minutes, and we got served already.
Yeah, there you go.
But well, it's probably because of us that they had to wait.
I think I had a right brain moment. Look at how we're like, with no research, we're already like giving it characteristics.
You know, whatever.
Remember when we went to the beer place over here? And they have this
the red
weird
umbrella.
Like split line situation.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Super long. You have to choose one or
the
other.
The sign is really small that says go to one line or the other.
Yeah, like this is two lines.
But everyone goes
we
to
went
the right.
There and everybody was in one line and nobody was in the other line. And I'm like,
what
I'm
happened?
Gonna go in like, the other line. Yeah. But I was very like, that was a brave moment for me, like not in my normal character, because yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I know everybody's going to.
And
like,
everybody
get mad.
Did.
They got all fucking mad. But you know what? The sign says two lines.
You crawled under the
motherfuckers,
table.
I went crawled to the, under the table.
And then I said, I'll take this line in case this one goes faster. That's actually just me playing it safe.
Yeah. And I went right up. I was like, I felt so
no.
Like. Everybody giving daggers to the back
no,
of my
but
head.
Here's what happened is then I was a good friend and followed suit and rationalized for you. And because I saw them look and I was like, yeah, see the signs, we could go over there. And then they're like, oh, but I had to like rationalize it for you. I couldn't let them think
you
that you
ignited the mob mentality.
Yeah. Like, don't
my
be-
strategy was like, I'm not going to look at anybody. Eyes forward. I'm going to order my thing and I'm going to leave.
I was like, you guys could have done it too. And then one of their people did. Did you see her struggle?
Yeah, they
under?
All followed. But I, that was a real, maybe it was a right brain moment for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you had a right brain moment.
Because that I felt like that was brave for me.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
For you.
For being sober. I mean, I would have done that
we
drunk.
We both were very sober.
Yeah, but being
oh,
sober, that was a very
maybe,
brave moment.
Okay, I.
Oh my God, is drunkenness a right brain?
I mean, it must be. Remember when you and I got in a, you started throwing,
coasters
at me in the bar, like ninja
I wasn't
stars.
Throwing them. Yeah, exactly. There was skill involved.
As I was saying, say, you weren't throwing them.
No,
you,
I was
you
spinning
were
them
like
a,
ninja stars
yeah,
at my
skilled
face
nature
from across the bar. Where what did I end up having to do to you?
You trapped
what did
me
I do?
Under a bar stool. This was a long
with
time
a coat.
Ago. We should
I,
say.
I put a large coat over her and put a bar stool over the top and trapped her in the bottom
like a
part
caged animal
because she could not follow the rules.
Well, rules were made to be broken.
Okay, says the person that that same night smashed her nose against a brick wall because she just drunk ran forward into the wall. And
this
then, and then we
was a roller derby road trip.
Yes.
I should say.
And then we duct taped a pad to your face to absorb the blood
pad.
A period pad to your bloody nose face.
It
I think I have
really
a picture
a fun
of that
trip though.
That was a great trip.
Did
Just so many great things. After parties are a fun excursion of right brain. We're group mentality. We protect each other, so we don't have to worry about left brain worry.
So how can we give our right brain more of a voice? I mean, besides without being drunk.
Drinking. I mean, yeah.
How can we do that? Because I really want to hear what my right brain has to say. I think
art and creativity does it. It's so hard for me to go to those places, but like skating does it for me. Like it's hard to go there, like to convince myself, like, okay, let's just go and do the thing. But once I'm doing it, I enjoy it. Like just the doing
it. You have to do it without left brain involved, though. Yes, it would have to be, I think, just like complete free drawing where it's like no thinking.
No planned
anything. As soon as there's a thought, it's left brain.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think like skating is, or maybe exercise in general would be good once you hit that point of just.
You're in the zone.
Yeah. Like, because roller derby at certain points, you're reacting based on instinct. You're no longer, you're like after thinking. After you're not new anymore. When you're new, it's all the wrong part of your brain. That's why.
Oh my God. That's right.
Wow,
too much thinking.
Too much. You overthink and then you either overfocus or you underfocus.
Don't think, just do.
Yeah.
Okay, right brain. I'm gonna try to help you have a voice.
Here we go.
That's all right. I have.
Until next time.
Give your delivery drivers a gift card.
And find ways to fit cocaine hippos into your regular conversations.
Yes.
Did they consent? That's all I'm saying.
They did not.
Have a good one. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.